Welcome into the latest edition of ESPN FC. I'm Dan Thomas, joined by Stevie Nicol here in the studio. Of course, the Champions League dominates today's show as we welcome to the programme. Jurgen Klinsmann is here, as is Frank Leboeuf and Craig Burley, as we kick things off in England. Chelsea with a 2-0 victory over Atletico Madrid, booking their place in the quarterfinal, 3-0 on aggregate. Overall, Chelsea thoroughly deserving of a place in the last eight. Craig, you look at the over those two legs, there's really only one team that deserved the win.
Oh yeah, absolutely. And let Chelsea, you know, their away performance was excellent. They snuffed Atletico out in this game. But for a side that are top of La Liga, to perform the way they did, not just in one game, because it can happen, but over 180 minutes, was abysmally poor. They lacked ambition, certainly, in the first game. They tried a little bit in this, but not much. And actually, Chelsea have had way more tougher games against, you know, mediocre teams in the Premier League this season. So, you know, we all know what the problems Chelsea have had this season with the change of manager and where they've been in the league. And here we have a side that are probably going to win La Liga, not definite, but probably. And really, they didn't give Chelsea many problems over the two legs. I mean, one of the things Tuchel has done well since he's come in, his team have defensively been excellent, but I would have imagined this Atletico team would have asked a load more questions over the 180 minutes.
Jurgen, watching this game as it developed, you question whether or not you knew that Atleti had to get something from it. It was almost as if they were sitting on the draw, happy that it was just 1-0. There was no drive, no ambition from a team, as Craig said. It's top of La Liga.
Yeah, it's overall, it's a bit disappointing, but I think, you know, the game was very interesting to watch. I mean, as Craig said, rightfully so. I mean, Chelsea defensively looked very, very, very organized. You know, they were very compact tactically. They kept everything very small. They made it very difficult for Atletico to play the ball through. So they never really created chances. I think João Félix, it took 80 minutes until he had his first shot at goal. I mean, a little bit of a storyline certainly was the two questionable situation for penalties in the first half before Chelsea scored then the first goal. Yeah, you can argue about those two incidents. Definitely you have a case there, especially when he gives them a red card at the end of the day. To Savage there for an elbow check. There was a very soft incident there. He gives a red. So if you give there a red card, then you could actually give the two penalties as well. But overall, I think an excellent performance by Chelsea. Two beautiful goals. I mean, two crown breaks executed tremendously well. So they deserve to go through. Very interesting game. But we would have hoped that Atletico gives it a little bit more.
We'll talk about those controversial calls a little later on. But Frank, do you want to kill Atleti or praise Chelsea?
If I want to what? If I want to play Chelsea? I want to play Chelsea. I want to talk about Chelsea and only Chelsea. Really, what they did. And of course, we can talk about the penalty and it would have changed the game, certainly, because maybe Azpilicueta would have been also red carded. It's an option. It's a possibility. But I want to keep what I saw during the game. And then for the first time this season, I'm 99% happy of what I saw from Chelsea, where defensively, technically, tactically, we had everything in front of us, except maybe sometimes the finishing, not that clinical enough, you know, for the specialists. But at the end of the day, when I see what Kovacic and Kante were able to do in the middle of the park, it's absolutely exceptional what they did. And for the first time, and we have to mention it, Ziyech had a game. He had a real good game. The game we were expecting from him since he signed for the Blues. And he did today and gave his best for his new team. And of course, defensively, it was perfect. Appalling performance from the Cochoneros. I mean, it's horrible. I mean, I can't believe that team is first of the league. Something's wrong. Two legs. As Craig said, you know, maybe the first leg can be it can be possible, but two games, not possible.
Dan, Frank's clearly trying to mend the wounds with the Chelsea fans here, isn't he?
I know. You know. So mean, so unimpressed with Tuchel.
He is. He's like, normally he's bored by one of Chelsea and Thomas Tuchel performances. Now he's ecstatic now tonight.
You cannot say that, Craig. Craig, you cannot say that. You've been telling me that I tried to overtake you to be in the hatest, you know, former player at the, you know, on television from Chelsea. But you know, really, for the first time, I'm happy.
You've got a way to go.
I saw a team that I wanted to see. What?
You've got a way to go before they hate you more than me. Trust me.
Yeah. Pick a number,
basically. I know that.
Stevie, you've also been very critical of Tuchel since he's come in, not particularly impressed with his style, hadn't seen too many changes from Lampard. This has been his best achievement so far.
Well, hold on a second. Let me just say that I've been critical about how they've performed in the final third. Mm. Nothing else. Everything else is... you can't fault what they've done. Defensively, you can't fault what they're doing in the middle of the park. Previously, you could fault what they've done going forward, but to win this game the way they did, comfortably, scoring two goals, good movement, good passes, good finishing, absolutely 100%. You can't fault Thomas Tuchel and his team today, but you can ask questions of Atletico Madrid. I mean, this Chelsea team probably won't need to wash the strips that they had on today, right, because half of them didn't get a sweat on. I mean, where is this? Well, a team's mirrored by its coach. Well, I tell you what, I don't know when we last used that, but we should never use it again, because Simeone's team doesn't mirror him anymore. This was toothless, there was no fight, it lacked spirit, it lacked everything. So I can't think of one good thing to say about Atletico Madrid, but I'll tell you what, this is not a Diego Simeone team.
No, I was going to say, you know, look, Chelsea haven't been the most exciting since Tuchel came in. There's no doubt about that. They've had lots of possession, kept lots of clean sheets. Most of the games have been tight. And at times it has been a little frustrating to watch in terms of, you know, the amount of passing they've had. And as Stevie said, then it's kind of all fell flat. Not all the time, but a lot of the times in the final third. But that's not Tuchel's remit short term. His remit when he came in here was replacing Frank Lampard was to get Chelsea in the top four, whatever way he could. Just get results. And by the way, that's still an if. It's not a guaranteed. But get this team into the top four for next season, into the Champions League. Then he has a transfer window. Then he can go in whatever direction he thinks is best. Make a run in the Champions League. Do what you can. They're not clearly not expected to go all the way here. Not saying they won't, but they're not expected to. But in terms of the way they're playing, that's kind of... I mean, they're playing okay, but it's kind of secondary at the moment whether they entertain or they're flamboyant or it's possession-based or whatever. He's just trying to get the results until the summer that his owner, Abramovich, expects, until he can get that transfer window and try to reshape this team under him. And I think at the moment he's doing that particularly well.
Jürgen, I just want to go
Dan,
back.
Dan, if I can finish that, if I can finish that, you know, I just, I don't want everybody to get carried away, you know, with all those performances and the fact that they didn't lose for 14 games, where we had the same discussion about Frank Lampard before he lost December 26 against Arsenal, and he got worse. But at the end of the day, you know, we were saying beginning of December, oh, Chelsea can maybe win the league, can go far. They are fantastic. So, you know, we are going through a pandemic and it's really the roller coaster right now. So what we say now about Chelsea, it's perfect. I don't know what's going to happen within a month, you know, if they lose one game. So we have to be cautious. Everything goes well, but we have to be cautious because it can happen to every team and it happened to any teams.
Jürgen, you mentioned it when you were talking about the game, the possibility that maybe Atleti should have had a penalty. There were two shouts in the first half. The first one maybe a little more debatable. The second one, I think everyone was surprised that the referee didn't at least go over to the monitor.
Yeah, and that's kind of the whole discussion about VAR. If I'm not sure, if I have somebody in my ear that tells me this was a situation for a penalty, I got to give it a look. And I mean, I expected him to at least walk over and look it at the screen and make your decision then. But he's a type of a referee that basically just want to have all control, meaning just he makes only the decision, which he did also with the red card at the end of the game with Savage. You know, it was a very soft elbow jack. You know, if you give that a red card, then you definitely have to give that actually two penalties. So it's definitely debatable. It's definitely something to argue about. But overall, there's no doubt about it. Chelsea was clearly the better team. They were in control. They deserved this game. They deserved to go through to the quarterfinals. And now in the last eight in Europe, in the Champions League, and that's a big deal. That's a big deal. And obviously, Thomas Tuchel is unbeaten since he came on board.
Penalty for you, Craig.
Certainly the Azpilicueta one was a penalty because you always think about it. Look, and I go back to this. If he's running through in the centre circle and that happens, the referee's going to pull that for a free kick all day. The trouble is, and I don't know the personality of the Italian referee, but he's directed by his colleague. You know, whether to go, you know, I'm sure if his colleague said to him, no, I think you should go to the monitor and have a look, he's not saying, no, get stuffed. So I think he's been directed by his colleague on this. And for the sake of, you know, time wasting and other factors, somebody has said to him in his ear, I don't really think that's worth a second look. And so therefore, he's just allowed the game to go on, certainly with the Azpilicueta one. But if he goes, he's probably going to go home tonight and watch that and think, well, I can't believe my colleague hasn't told me to go to the monitor. But he's been directed by him. That's the problem. It's not then his decision. He's been directed by other people. But I thought it should have been a penalty.
Late on, obviously, didn't affect the outcome of the game, Frank. We, of course, saw Savage getting sent off, straight red. Rudiger sold that completely. He got sent off because of Rudiger's reaction. Do you have a problem with that?
Yes, I have a problem with that because the game is almost over. You know, you have to understand, if you have to work psychologically, you have to understand that Savage is frustrated, that Rudiger is pushing him. And in fact, Rudiger is looking for it. I don't want to condemn Rudiger. Savage shouldn't have reacted, but it's too much. I mean, it's a straight red card. Give a yellow card, you know, and that's it, because it didn't hurt Rudiger that much. And that's it. For me, he shouldn't go... He shouldn't have gone that far.
You agree, Stevie?
No. If you throw an elbow and you get caught, then you suffer the consequences. I mean, I don't see how it's not as straightforward as that.
Rudiger helped the referee, though, didn't he?
Well, listen, Stevie, you go... Stevie, you go over and throw an elbow at him.
Any sort of finger at Rudiger for any reason. He was standing there, and if Savic is stupid enough to throw an elbow at him and catch him in the chest... regardless of whether it was Mike Tyson or not.
Right.
And it's not... You can't point the finger at Rudiger and say, he did this and he did that.
Right.
Savage got caught.
I remember playing against Denmark in Copenhagen and Mikael Beck, who later went on to be a teammate of mine, elbowed me in the stomach very slyly, and it completely knocked the wind out of me. It didn't look like much. The bottom line here is whether you throw an elbow to the face or the body, an elbow is an elbow, and you can't do it. So I'm with Stevie here. You know, whether Rudiger goes down or not, once you throw an elbow, particularly with VAR, you're behind the eight ball. You're done.
Jürgen?
Well, yeah, I mean, I agree. If you handle it that way and you give a red card, but then, you know, I also say then it was two clear penalties in the first half for Atletico Madrid. I mean, it's just the one way or the other. I mean, it was a soft elbow, but it was an elbow, okay. But then, you know, it was a soft, two soft fouls in the first half, two penalties. The whole game goes another direction.
Meanwhile,
I have a question, Dan.
Craig, go on.
Craig,
go on, Frankie.
Listen,
yes.
when Koke tackle very, very strongly Kante, don't you think it's more dangerous the tackle that he gave to, I think it's Kante or Kovacic, I don't remember, when he got the yellow card, comparing to just a little elbow on Rudiger's chest, getting him a red card?
Yeah, but one is an act of play. in terms of the game, and the other's violent conduct. So I mean that's kind of the difference there. We can it's subjective.
Greg, I can't buy it. I can't buy it. You know that Koke tackles the guy because he wants to stop an action, and he wants to be violent because he doesn't look for the ball. He just tried to demolish the player. Tell me the truth. You were a midfielder. You know what you do.
All I know is that once you throw an elbow, and I've been there, and I'm as tough as old boots, as you know, jokingly, and even I'm desperate. Stevie, go and elbow Dan, and then see if we play axe or not.
Hey, I'm not a big hard centre defender. Yeah. I'm a weak little Cornishman.
I don't need to move. I'll just blow hard and you'll fall over.
Let's focus a little bit, Jürgen, on a man who has been fantastic for Atleti in La Liga. But in the Champions League, Luis Suarez hasn't scored a single goal this season. And once again, Jürgen, he was disappointing tonight, wasn't he?
Yeah, I mean, he looked disappointing because he really didn't have any chances, you know, and he was shut down by the Chelsea defenders. I mean, the three of them, they were all over him. You know, he had never an opportunity to do something with it, and he was not fed by anybody. I mean, João Félix, he tried to kind of create something. He was the only one with a little bit of an idea, a little bit of creativity. He ended up, you know, getting two shots on goal in the last 10 minutes, but Suarez, unfortunately, was not in the game at all. And when he came off in the 60th minute, I kind of was really sad because, you know, I thought, okay, who should score the goals now for Atletico? I mean, who should do it now? So, it was a bad run for him in the Champions League this season. Overall, he's doing okay, obviously, in La Liga, and he's still going strong.
I mean, that's really harsh on Suarez. You know, the way that they play him is for him to hold it up, use his battling qualities, and then have midfielders running to connect with them or go past them. But he can't be expected to fight with Rudiger and Kurt Zouma, and nobody gets anywhere close to him. And then he takes, and then when he does get taken off, somebody only brings on a midfielder. Mm. So, you know, it doesn't make any sense to what he was trying to do. Because if you're going to bring on another midfielder, then you still need somebody to hold it up. And if you give him service, then Suarez will hold it up. But no, you take him off, and then there's nobody to hold it up either. So, a lot of these things don't make sense.
Of course, the general consensus around João Félix is that he's one of the most exciting up-and-coming talents in European football. But this situation with Atleti, Craig, it's difficult to see him blossom into the player that maybe he could.
Yeah, and Portugal would want him to do that for the Euros. Obviously, Portugal with a bright side with lots of talent, and he's one of the top ones if playing well. But one of the things when he made the big move, and it was a huge money move, was you know, would the style of Atleti under Simeone, would it be a good fit for him? And the way that Simeone demands his teams play and demands his teams defend, and a lot of the times, particularly against the better teams, is a game that's out of possession and reliant on maybe some counter-attacks, which has worked for them in La Liga so far. But there's no doubt, and he's not the only one, there's no doubt we're not seeing the best of his talents. And listen, confidence is a wonderful thing, even for one of such talent as him, that when you're not performing and you have been left out of the team, and he hasn't played recently, he was brought back in tonight, and that's going to kill a young man's confidence as well. So, yeah, there is an argument to say that the fit of Atletico Madrid and Simeone isn't a good one for this young man at this moment in time, because we're just not seeing, as Jürgen said, with Suarez, you know, you can't expect Luis Suarez to do everything, particularly not at his age, and you've got to get support, and you've got to get support and a structure around a young guy like João Félix to get the best out of him. And I'm not quite sure that's where Atleti are. They're successful at the moment in La Liga, but that success might be at the detriment to this young guy.
Craig, we weren't very complimentary about Serie A yesterday with Atalanta going out. And almost in the same breath, you could make the same accusations towards what we're seeing in La Liga. Atleti, of course, top. They're out. Barcelona knocked out by PSG. Real Madrid getting through, obviously, against Atalanta. Sevilla out against Borussia Dortmund. It would be a concern if you're a Spaniard, wouldn't it?
You're talking to me?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. But it's cyclical. And we had the same scenario with the Premier League a few years ago. And you know, I think around 2012, 13, 14, I can't really remember. But I remember broadcasting in the UK and saying, look, this is a problem for the Premier League because they were trying to sell the league around the world for huge money. Is this great thing? And yet the teams were getting outplayed and outclassed with the other big European giants. But that sort of turned around, obviously, with particularly with Liverpool and potentially with Man City. But I do think it is cyclical and it is a concern for these teams at the moment. We've seen a very successful period for Bayern and Germany too. And, you know, maybe they'll have their struggles at some point. But I think it's a worry short term for these leagues or a concern. But I don't like it was for the Premier League. I don't think it's a major concern for the long term.
Frank, from a Chelsea's perspective, you'll be hoping that Bayern Munich draw Manchester City, won't you, in the next round?
Yes, and I will wish to know to see Tuchel maybe playing against Paris Saint-Germain. That would be interesting.
I thought you might like Porto.
Well, no, it's going to be difficult for against any team, and you cannot expect to have an easy game against or an easy way to go against any teams. You have to accept what you're going to get and give your best. You know, who thought that Chelsea could win the two games against Atleti? Mm. When you asked, you know, how many English team will go through, Craig said maybe one. We already have two, I guess. Liverpool didn't go through yet. Oh, yes, they went through. Yeah, they went through. So it's three out of three. But Chelsea, not too many people have bet that Chelsea could go through and win the two games against Atleti. So everything is possible, and everything is possible for Chelsea.
Gentlemen, thanks for reminding
people that I said only one would go through, Frankie.
There you go, Frank.
I know, I like it.
Thank you very much, gentlemen. Just a reminder, more from the boys over on Extra Time. You can always check that out on our YouTube channel.
Passion, drive and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights and more. Whether you're into speed, power or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
I hope you're sitting down. Shock news. Bayern Munich are through to the quarterfinals. They beat Lazio 2-1 on the night to guarantee themselves a place in the quarterfinals. So the lineup is now set. Jürgen, inevitably, two favourites are Manchester City and Bayern Munich. If they were to meet tomorrow, who would your money be on?
I mean, my money would definitely go still with Bayern Munich. But I think it's exciting. I mean, if you look at the eight big names that are now in the quarterfinals, you know, and any possibility can get big pairings now together. This is prime time. It's prime time Champions League. And it's all about timing. It's timing, you know, of the players, of the coaches. And anything can happen. So even if we say maybe the favorites right now, they look like Man City and Bayern Munich, but don't count the other ones out. It will be exciting times, exciting weeks ahead of us. And that's really what the Champions League is all about.
Did you make a noise when I asked that question, Craig?
Yeah, because unlike your questioning, the Champions League is unpredictable. You know what I mean? Your line of questioning to Jürgen, it's so predictable. You could put money on it and win the jackpot.
What would you have asked, genius?
Well, I don't. Well, it's not my job to ask the question.
Well, then you shouldn't criticise the question asker if you haven't got a better question
give me time.
To put.
I tell you what, if I had a better time to prep a show, then maybe I'd come up with a better question.
Oh,
then
I see.
If these two are going to play, who's going to win?
Oh, well, I see. We'll give you 24 hours notice, shall we?
That's
how much time do you need to prep
behind.
Your questions?
Well, your predictability is knows no bounds.
But you can't throw stones and then not offer alternatives, Craig. Come on.
But I'm not a presenter.
Let me do my job. You do yours.
Well, you present properly and ask a proper question. Right. We'll talk about it after.
Frank.
Listen, they're not the only two teams in the competition. It's like, if Man City and Bayern were to play,
yes,
they're not the only two teams in the competition.
So are they not the two favourites, in your opinion?
I think you have to throw PSG in there.
So PSG with Manchester City and Bayern Munich?
Depending who's fit and available, then it's going to be close. I mean, you know, neither PSG or Man City. The only difference is the experience of Bayern Munich. That we know they've been over the course before. Man City and PSG, for all the millions and billions spent, have still got to prove that. I don't see Liverpool in there at 71 unless Joe Gomez, Virgil van Dijk, Joel Matip and the rest of the treatment room make a miraculous recovery. I really don't see how an inexperienced backline are going to handle some of the best attacks in Europe. So I really don't see Liverpool as a threat. That I could maybe I'll have to eat my words on that, but I don't think so. Not if you're going to be playing, maybe the young lads that we saw at centre half. So, yeah, of course those teams are the favourites. But
okay. You know. So my question was valid, Frank.
No, it wasn't valid,
Frank.
It was just silly.
I still think that Bayern Munich is a favourite. Do you think that there is any club who wants to play against Real Madrid right now? Because everybody thinks Real Madrid is not Real Madrid anymore. But they play against Atalanta and they win away from home. There was a red card or not, they win at home on that very strange stadium we would normally play the reserve team. And they keep on winning. Ramos is back. And they have so much experience that you don't want to play against them. Who wants to play against Chelsea after the game they played today, where they can run everywhere, they're getting better and better, they don't lose any game? So it's in that way that nothing is predictable because it's hard to win every game. Every game is very hard to win, and everybody can win. Manchester City was one of the favorites, and they lost against Lyon in the final eight. Nobody could have predicted that. So it's hard to have an answer. Let's say Bayern Munich is a favorite for me, for Jürgen, maybe not for Stevie or Craig, but that's what it is, but doesn't mean anything.
You're trying to prejudge me. How do you know I haven't got Bayern Munich as the favorite?
I said that for sure. I was making a statement about myself and Jürgen. I was asking the question about yourself.
Look, I worry. Look at the teams. Look. You want Porto, right? How? No disrespect, but Juventus are just poor. They should have knocked them out. You look at the teams that have got the problems defensively. That's the teams you want to play. I think Porto, Dortmund are weaker defensively, and this season Liverpool are certainly weaker defensively. There's no doubt about that. The amount of games they've lost. Those are the teams at the moment. I think the other ones want to play. There's not a doubt about that.
I'll tell you who you don't mind playing. PSG.
Really?
Why would you not want
Craig's
to play
Craig's got them
PSG?
As one of the favourites.
Why would you not want to
so
play
the bookies.
PSG? You know, they're having a shocker in their own league. And quite frankly, the truth is, they could have lost that four-goal lead again against Barcelona because defensively they bottle it when it matters most. So why would you not want to play PSG? And certainly, if Chelsea was to play PSG tomorrow, I would put my money on Chelsea. Put it that way.
Would you really?
I would. Listen, you don't lose goals. You don't lose games.
I think I'd rather play Porto.
It's a cup competition, so you can't lose. It's not like a league where you go and draw every week. If you don't lose, you're still in it. PSG, in my opinion, defensively, are a bit of a shambles, and that's why I would. If it was Chelsea, PSG tomorrow, I would take Chelsea.
Stevie would rather play PSG over Porto. What the hell is that all about?
Are you hearing things? I never said I would play PSG over Porto. Something wrong with your lungs.
Oh, yeah. I need to clean the wax out my ears. I know that.
Oh, that's a lovely mental image for us all. I think that does that bring us to the end of this very productive segment. Just a reminder, the draw is on Friday. Tomorrow, the Europa League will take priority. We'll be here to reflect on the big games, including Milan against Manchester United. We're driven by the search for better, but when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/FC. Just go to Indeed.com/FC right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on the podcast. Indeed.com/FC, terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed. Nicely poised, isn't it? AC Milan against Manchester United. 1-1 in the first leg. All to play for then in Italy. According to the bookies, Manchester United are the favourites going into the tie to advance. Let's welcome Gav Marcotti to the show. Gav, do you agree? United favourites?
For me, it's actually very even. I mean, if you look at the... if you look at the first leg, I mean, well, first of all, obviously the fact that Milan got the away, all important away goal as it's trademarked known as, I think is a huge edge. And I think if you look at the first leg, Milan in many ways outplayed United. Although that said, despite, and this might be what's swaying the bookies, despite outplaying them for long stretches, you know, United still missed an absolute sitter with Harry Maguire and could have taken the 3 points. But I think it's also because Milan looked tired at the weekend. They do have a bunch of injured players from Zlatan Ibrahimovic to Bennacer, who've come back into training. But whether they're match fit, ready to go, ready to give you 90 minutes, I'm not sure. It's going to be a big call for Stefano Pioli to make, because the guys who were out there at the weekend certainly looked very tired.
Gab, United will qualify for the Champions League through the domestic league. AC Milan maybe not so guaranteed. So is there more pressure on them to get through in this tie?
I think there's a lot of pressure on both, to be honest. I mean, look, if you're United at this stage of the season, right, you're not going to catch Manchester City and you're not going to drop out of the top four. So if you want to keep up the tension, if you're Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, you say, hey, how about we go and we win some European silverware? Mm. I think that's a big motivator that would cement Solskjaer's hold over this club even further. And the same thing applies to Milan. Yeah, Milan are in greater danger of slipping out of the top four, but I think they're still pretty firmly entrenched in that second spot. So I think both teams want to go out. They want to do something important. And I think what's pretty much guaranteed is this is not going to be one of those, you know, Europa League ties where you go and you see the third stringers out there.
No.
I think this would be a huge scalp, certainly for Milan on their way back. And I think this matters a lot to Ole Gunnar Solskjaer as well, who of course is going to have to cope with the absence of both Martial and Cavani up front.
It's going to be a proper match, isn't it? Just a reminder, some of the other notable ties as well. Arsenal looking good, aren't they, against Olympiacos, 3-1 up after the first leg. Meanwhile, you've got Rangers against Slavia Prague. That one finally poised at one apiece. It's been a busy few days, meanwhile, about Cristiano Ronaldo and his future. Fabio Paratici, the Juve chief football officer, came out and said, "It makes me laugh. I never imagined Ronaldo could be put into question. He won so many trophies and scored so many goals at Juventus. It's a privilege to have him here. We are happy to have him here. He surely represents the future of Juventus." After that hat-trick that he then scored, Ronaldo put on Instagram, "Now, I can't wait for the next games and challenges, the next records and trophies. Believe me, me, this story is still far from being over. The future is tomorrow and there's still a lot to win for Juventus and Portugal. So we kind of thought, well, that's it, right? That's kind of put that to bed. But Zidane, ahead of the Champions League game, was asked about Ronaldo's possible return. He said maybe, but he's a Juventus player. We'll see what happens in the future. And then Emilio Butragueño, the spokesman at Real Madrid, was asked about the possibility of Ronaldo returning. And he just said, we'll see. Gab, this is going to rumble on and on, isn't it?
Yeah, it was funny. I actually saw Emilio Butragueño's interview live, and of course, he's Real Madrid club legend, and does have an influential role at the club. And before the Atalanta game, and all he would say is, "Well, we're just focused on Atalanta right now." He could have knocked it on the head. He could have killed it dead. My guess is he doesn't mind the speculation. I don't think it affects him one way or the other. From Juve's perspective, I think they accept that Cristiano Ronaldo is going to decide where he plays his football for the next 15 months. He has a contract that runs until 2022. After that, it's anybody's guess because Juve may extend him or he may want to move somewhere else or they may not reach a deal or they may not be able to afford to extend them. So there's a whole aspect there. Some media had speculated, well, you know, they took a financial hit from the Champions League. He didn't play particularly well. He makes enormous amounts of money. He's not going to get any older. They'll lose him for nothing, potentially, since it's going to be difficult to extend him in 2022. So people were suggesting, well, you know, maybe they sell him for $25 million or whatever this summer. I don't think that's happening where they sell him for a fee, unless Cristiano comes out and says, hey, guys, thanks so much. I want to go and try somewhere else. And, you know, you saw Ronaldo's social posts. He's not thinking in those terms. I think Cristiano has all the cards here. He can wait. He can wait until the last minute. And if he decides to go somewhere else, you know, at least for a year after that, he can take a pay cut if it's difficult for people to sign in post-COVID. You know, he can pretty much write his own ticket and go most places he wants to at this stage. Now, if he wants to earn the same money he's on now, that is a different story. Then it becomes very difficult, I think, for most clubs, with the exception of the usual suspects of like Manchester United or whatever, to be able to afford him. But Cristiano's not thinking in those terms, and I think Juve as well are saying, well, as long as he's here, he's productive, he's happy, he's contributing. We see no reason to try to move him on or anything.
Gab Marcotti, as always, thank you very much. More from Gab, of course, as always, on Thursday as the latest edition of the Gab and Jules podcast drops over on the website.
Did you know less than 10% of Americans own an e-bike? Here's why that should change. Studies show e-bike owners actually end up exercising more, plus getting outside more. If you're looking for a balanced lifestyle and everyday adventures, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes. They are the number one selling e-bike brand in America. Their bikes are typically foldable, pre-assembled, and have serious range up to 150 miles on some models. Check them out today at electricebikes.com and add some more adventure to your week. That's lectricebikes.com.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
That is it. That brings us to the end of today's show. Thank you very much to everyone who has been on. Be sure to stay tuned, though. Stevie and Frank stay with me to answer your questions for Extra Time. Welcome into the latest edition of Extra Time. Stevie Nicol with me in the studio. Frank Leboeuf with us as well. Lots of questions about the Champions League. Frank, did Simeone miss the goal in the first leg? He seems to have been playing for a 0-0 draw. Maybe he was blinded by how handsome Giroud is and didn't notice that he scored.
Do I really have to answer to that question? I don't know.
Which bit would you like to address? Giroud is very handsome.
Giroud is very handsome, yeah. And he's a very good football player, so that's it. That's the only thing I can say. You know, I think I was very surprised by the poverty of Atleti football in the two legs.
Yeah.
Maybe it doesn't reflect what they do in Liga, but really, because I don't follow the Liga, I see sometimes some games, but really, to see that team is first in the Liga makes me wonder, you know, what the level of the Liga is.
Yeah.
Because that's not the top team.
Remember we were sat, it was 2-0 on aggregate. You and I were sitting in the room watching the game.
Yes.
And we were talking about, did Simeone realise what the score is? Or did the players realise?
I do remember that, because it was only an hour ago.
Yeah, well... Oh, I know what you're like. But it was, though, it was so obvious. They were dropping in into their own half, into a little shell, into good spots.
Yep.
But they had to go and win and score some goals. It was the weirdest thing. It's strange.
Has Havertz's recent form converted Frank, or are you still not a believer of him as a top player?
There is definitely a better situation for Havertz. But I'm still not convinced. I saw him playing last season, and he was like 10 times much better than he shows today. So I think I'm right to ask more from that young player. So okay, everybody tells me that he needs time to settle. Fine by me, as long as the others do the job. And again, he does better. But sometimes I say, wow, he's not there. Sometimes a control, a pass, you know, something he would have never missed last season. So I want to be patient. I'm not going to say anything anymore about Havertz. That let's see.
Oh. Frank, what is your opinion on Kante in today's game? Looks like he's back to his very best.
That guy was absolutely magical today. And you have to add Kovacic, because they worked very well together and they changed the game. I mean, they won the battle in the middle of the park. And you know, with players like Koke, it's never easy because it's a real fight. But today, from the first minute to the last one, Kante was the king of the midfield. Remember the last action, when they scored the goal, when Emerson scored the goal, he gets the ball back, he's in on 16-yard box, and he makes a sprint for 80 meters, sorry, I don't know in yards, maybe 90 or 100 yards. And Pulisic decides to not giving him the ball, but he could have gotten the ball back and scored the goal. He was physically at the top, and a Kante at the top physically changed the game.
At 87 yards. What's changed with him under Tuchel than Lampard? Because Lampard, he wasn't necessarily starting.
Fitness. No question. He's had lots of little injuries that he's never had in previous years.
True.
And when you do rely on... Listen, I'm not saying he's not a great football player, but for him to stick out and for him to be Kante that we know, he has to be able to do the running that we're used to him doing, because if he drops, we'll say, well, he's dropping down. But what you saw today was a guy who looks to be 100% fit. When was the last time we sat here and talked about Kante in the last minute of a game, sprinting 87 yards after winning the ball? We haven't talked about that for a good 12 months, maybe longer. So it just shows a player like him, when they are 100%, then you see a huge difference.
So no credit for Tuchel, just fitness.
Well, how many games has Kante played under Tuchel?
A lot.
Oh, that means you don't know then. You just said a lot.
No, he has played a lot. He's played more under Tuchel than he did for Lampard.
I completely disagree with you. The reason he hasn't played, and I'm sure the reason Tuchel hasn't played him, is because he hasn't been 100%.
He's played a lot under Tuchel.
Oh, he's played a lot, yeah. That's good analysis, that, isn't it?
Whenever you joined a new club...
But I'm sorry.
Go on, Frank.
Stevie, I think... I don't know. I mean, it's true that Tuchel is here. He has been Chelsea not for long. But I think... I find physically the players in a better shape than before. So is that just randomly?
Yeah.
Or is it because of Tuchel's way of working?
I actually disagree with that, Frank.
I actually disagree with that. You don't think that all the players are physically better than they used to be?
I don't think
I don't say it's because of Tuchel, I'm asking.
I would suggest that Kante definitely has not been 100% fit, right? I think you would agree with me there. But the other players, it's to do with the atmosphere around the club and the fact that they're not getting beat. All of those things completely change footballers' brains. You know, at the end of the day, your brain is what carries your legs. Your legs are in the brain is in charge of your legs. And if you're not feeling great and you're feeling down and you're thinking, oh, I feel sorry for myself, then it affects you physically. And so the completely change of atmosphere at Stamford Bridge would make Frank think that they do look quicker, faster, stronger. I would suggest that they're not. They're just in a different frame of mind.
Whenever you joined a new club, did you really buy into the local rivalry or just acted professionally in public?
No, you buy into it.
Yeah?
Well, you can't avoid it.
Right.
Doesn't matter.
Who are your bigger rivals, Everton or Manchester United?
Manchester United.
Right.
Yeah. But, I mean, Sheffield United, Sheffield Wednesday. When I was at Sheffield Wednesday.
Right.
You can't help but buy into it because as soon as you finish the game before the derby, that's all everybody's talking about. So it's impossible not to get carried up in it.
So how did your son become a Manchester United fan?
Well, because it was the old kids, wasn't it? Because of the class of 92.
Really?
Yeah, well, he was like, he'd be like, what, 7 years old?
You're right, but his dad played for Liverpool.
No, I know. It was crazy. It wasn't a good couple of years.
No.
But he saw the light.
How old was he? He was like seven, so it wasn't like even teenage rebellion.
No, exactly. I know. Well, all his mates loved Beckham and...
Right.
..and Scholes and all these young guys.
Yeah, OK.
And so that's why, but...
And you took him to a game once, yeah, and just got abuse.
I took him to... One of the biggest rivalries in English football is Leeds United and Manchester United. Mm-hmm. And I'm talking utter hatred and vitriol. And I took him to a midweek game. So we get there early and I'm standing outside Old Trafford waiting to get tickets. My good friend Alex Ferguson was leaving me tickets.
Oh, lovely, yes. Of course, freebies.
And, of course, as we're walking to the stadium, the police have got all the Leeds United fans.
Yeah.
Marching down the road.
So they take it from the train station to Old Trafford.
And they're all giving it. They're all giving it. Who's the fighter?
McGregor.
McGregor. They're all these like kids, women, men.
Yes. Yeah.
You name it. They're all walking down the street like this. Anyway, I go around the corner, get in where the ticket office is, and the next minute, it was like a scene for Braveheart when they're firing 1,000 arrows, right. Except it was bottles.
Really?
And I've got them in the door at the road because there is bottles everywhere. Oh, it was absolute madness.
And then once you got in, you must have got recognised then as well. Or not?
I basically got a few choice words now and again.
Yeah.
But of course, when you get up to the director's box and up close to that, then it becomes somewhat normal.
You're in the posh area. Hey,
and then I get in the car park afterwards.
Right.
Oh, we've got time for this. I get in the car park. And, of course, I'm trying to be clever. I leave just a couple of seconds before the game finishes, get in the car and get away.
Yep,
makes
sense.
You can't do that, Old Trafford.
Why not?
Because they let the crowds go first. They don't let any cars go until half an hour after the kickoff. I'm sat in the car park and people are coming up to the car and swearing at me, abusing me, banging on the windows. And Mark Michael's like, do you know that guy? I'm like that. Seriously? Oh, I'm joking.
Oh, wow. Frank, what's a greater highlight of your career? Winning the FA Cup with Chelsea or performing on the French rendition of The Masked Singer as a peacock?
I better say the cock.
No. We're going to talk about football.
There you go.
You give so much of what you dreamt about when you were young, that you reached the goal and you wanna grab the growl, and it's what happened to me.
I don't think this person was being serious. I don't think they're being serious, Frank.
No, but that was absolutely fantastic. Getting the FA Cup, I mean, twice, great.
Would you swap it for an Oscar?
No. No, of course not. I don't care about getting an Oscar or BAFTA, I don't know, César. I'm not there. I just want to enjoy. When I was playing football, it was a fight. We wanted to put down the other team and get the cup. That was a different time of my life. And I was there in the middle of the park, you know, willing to win for myself, for the club, for the fans. But now it's different. It's movies, it's plays. There is no fights in between. It's just pleasure, maybe.
Stevie, have you ever worn a kit, an ugly kit, that you were embarrassed to put on? If so, which one was it?
I wouldn't say embarrassed, but I absolutely detested the green and white Liverpool kit.
So this is the green candy with the three stripes?
Yeah.
That's where we saw you score the own goal, wasn't it?
Yeah. I just looking at it, before you even put it on, you're like, this is not a Liverpool strip.
Right.
No.
Did you have a favourite away strip? Obviously, always red at home.
I love the old one we used to have, was yellow.
Yeah, the yellow.
With a red stripe through it.
Yeah.
I actually like the grey one with a red stripe through it as
right.
well.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, I liked it.
Frank, did you have a kit that you were embarrassed to wear?
Well, and I will have to apologise after when I say what I have to say. You know, one day we went away from home and Chelsea forgot to bring the away kit.
And we played against
Coventry,
wasn't it? Yeah.
Yes, and we had to play with the Coventry away shirt, which was red and black, you know, like a chess game.
Yep,
and,
checkers.
And we lost. And I was so upset, and nothing about the shirt, that I threw the shirt and I left it on the field. And wow. I received a warning from the FA, from the Premier League, saying that I shouldn't do that again. And I really want to apologize, because it was nothing to do with the Coventry club or whatever it is. But the shirt was ugly, we lost, and I was upset with it. And the one I loved the most was the white shirt, the second season at Chelsea. I love that one.
Yeah.
White, all white, was great.
Frank, were you ever fined? Like, what was the most you were ever fined during your time in football?
I never been fined.
No.
I got red cards, but I never been fined. I was almost fined when I tackled and didn't touch a Leeds player, and I stood up on him after, because he was pretending. So nobody wanted to give me 10 games and 40 of, I don't remember, I think £40,000 fine. But I appeal and I didn't win, because I was 4 games banned, but no fine.
You had to pay some fines in your MLS days, yes, Stevie?
Yeah, I got a couple when I was on the sidelines.
What did you do to deserve those fines?
Generally verbals.
How much did you resent writing those checks?
Oh, the worst bit was going home and telling the wife, because I had to pay for them.
Yeah, of course.
Every time we used to leave the house, you'd go, right, what are you going to do today? I'm going to go, keep my mouth shut. Right, on you go. Never did.
Final question. After yesterday, Frank revealed that at one stage he was paying 75% tax.
Wow.
During his time in France.
We used to pay 60.
60?
So when I, 80s, it was 60, 80. Wow. Yeah, early 80s, it was 60%.
Right.
And Margaret Thatcher, who yes. was in the Conservative Party at the time, took over, and we were on the bus on the way home after training, and we had the radio on, because there'd been talk about changing the tax, because yeah. everybody was paying 60. And it came over, and she said they changed it to the highest rate of 40. And the old bus was like, yeah!
I can imagine. So on that point, Frank, yeah. why don't more players sign for Monaco? Because, of course, it's tax-free.
Yeah, it's not for the French people. They have an agreement between Monte Carlo and France, and if you are French and you go to play for Monaco, you're going to pay the tax like wow. you would pay in France. That's the thing.
But if you're foreign, you
just
don't have
to pay
any
tax. That, in fact, exactly. That's oh. the point. It's why people were discussing, in fact, about Monaco being banned from the French Championship because they had an advantage, which is true, but that was a long deal, a long time ago. About the 75, in fact, 75%. In fact, we had a salary, we pay like 60% like you, but at the end of the year, you know, according to what you were earning, you had a, what we call the fortune tax in France, which doesn't exist for the past 2 years since Macron is a president. So you had to pay on top. It's why overall you went to 70, 75.
Wow. Have you been to Monaco much, Frank? Yeah. Is it a lovely place to go?
It is a lovely place. You know, my former chairman, Ken Bates, lives there.
Oh, nice.
And yeah.
How much is a beer? How much would Stevie pay for a beer?
How much is a pint?
How much would he pay in Monaco for one?
If he comes with me, it's going to be freebies.
Oh, of course, I keep forgetting. Yeah. Freebie Frank. That's it. Thank you very much, guys. ESPN FC back on your screens tomorrow. We'll be focusing on AC Milan against Manchester United in the Europa League.
Did you know less than 10% of Americans own an e-bike? Here's why that should change. Studies show e-bike owners actually end up exercising more, plus getting outside more. If you're looking for a balanced lifestyle and everyday adventures, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes. They're the number one selling e-bike brand in America. Their bikes are typically foldable, pre-assembled, and have serious range up to 150 miles on some models. Check them out today at LectricEbikes.com and add some more adventure to your week. That's LECTRIC ebikes.com.